I'm still in Parshas Bereishis. In Bereishis, there's a obviously a lot of pesukim about day and night. Or in Chayshach, Hashem created light, called it day, created dark, called it night, and then on the fourth day, he had the Ma'iris, and it says that there, Rashi explains Liyamim, meaning that he divided up the 24-hour period and said that the light part is called day and the dark part is called night. So we have these concepts in Mitzius and in very significantly in Halacha, of that there's daytime and there's nighttime. There are mitzvahs that apply during the day, and those are able to be fulfilled during the hours that are halachically considered day, and then they can't be fulfilled outside of those hours. And conversely, you have some mitzvahs that are nighttime mitzvahs. They can only be fulfilled during the hours of the nighttime. So you need to have a halachic definition of when the night starts, when the day starts. And most especially, when the night starts, because we know that the calendar, the days, when you're counting days, days of the week or days of the month, so all of our calendar days begin with the nighttime. That the Gemara learns from Vayikar. So to know when the night starts is crucial for knowing when it's Shabbos, when it's Matzah Shabbos, when it's Yom Tov, right? All of the, or when it's Pesach, you know, when Yom Tov starts. So what is the line that divides between day and night? So most of us are aware of the idea that there's a murky line. There's something murky about that. There's a lot of different zmanim, and the Gemara refers to various sveikais. But the Gemara makes a very clear-cut statement in a couple of places, in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim and Beis Amud Aleph, and also in Megillah and Daf Chaf. The Gemara says unequivocally that Ad Tzeitzik HaKavim Yomam Hu, until Tzeitzik HaKavim, it's the daytime. The night starts at Tzeitzik HaKavim. Now, Tzeitzik HaKavim, that's when it's dark, and right? Tzeitzik HaKavim literally means when the stars come out. We know the stars don't really come out. What it means is when it gets dark enough for the stars to be visible, then that's not when the sun goes down, right? We differentiate between Shkiyas HaKavim and Tzeitzik HaKavim. And we sometimes, right, we use the term Bein HaShemashos to refer to the period between Shkiyas HaKavim, when the sun sets, and Tzeitzik HaKavim, when it gets dark enough to see the stars. But the Gemara in these two places doesn't seem to have any suffix about when night starts. The Gemara doesn't say that, well, maybe it starts by Shkiyas HaKavim. The Gemara says that Ad Tzeitzik HaKavim Yomamahu. So that's the Gemara in two places, in Pesachim and in Megillah. So Tosfos over there asks the Kasha that why then is there a concept of Bein HaShemashos? Bein HaShemashos is not just something that we made up. Bein HaShemashos also comes from the Gemara. There's a Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Lamed Daled. The Gemara over there says that after the sun goes down, there's a period of, the Gemara has some descriptions of this part of the sky turning dark and that part of the sky turning dark. And that's in the Tanoim. And then the Amirayim give more specific shiurim of how long that is. And one says it's 3/4 mil, and one says that it's 2/3 mil, which we'll maybe go into a little bit later in some more detail, but roughly speaking, that's somewhere around between 10 and 15 minutes. That's what the Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Hey, seems to say is the Shir of Bein HaShemashos. But Tosfos asks the Kasha, why did Chazal deal with the Bein HaShemashos, like a period of Safek? What's the Safek? The Gemara tells us, Ad Tzeitzik HaKavim Yomamahu. I mean, you think, I think most people think that Bein HaShemashos means that Chazal had a suffix whether the nighttime really starts at Shkia or at Seis. But that's not true. The Gemara says in two places, Ad Tzeitzik HaKavim Yomamahu. So if we know that the nighttime really starts at Tzeitzik HaKavim, so why is there a Bein HaShemashos suffix?
Maybe because even Tzeitzik HaKavim is not an absolute time.
Ah. So Tosfos answers that we do know that the nighttime starts at Tzeitzik HaKavim, but that itself is a very ambiguous term, when the stars come out. Which stars?
How many stars?
And which stars?
What does the term itself even mean? Like, to understand, the Bein HaShemashos between the suns?
Good question. Yeah.
One's the star, the sun goes down, and then the
right.
Star between, the
I don't know. Right. Yeah, well, what's the other shemesh in the term Bein HaShemashos? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Just between the
north sun and the sun.
Maybe it's Shabbos.
Or to look like the moon is.
I don't know. Good question. So Tezis is bothered. Why is there something of Benesh Mashais if we know that nighttime starts at Tezis Kachavim? And Tezis says, because we don't know which Kachavim. There are big stars, there are little stars. Now the truth is that the Gemara really tried to address that already. The Gemara on Laf Lamed Hey in Shabbos says that when we talk about Tezis Kachavim, we don't mean the big stars and we don't mean the little stars, we mean the Beinanim, the in-between stars. But Tezis, I guess, means to say, but even after that, it's still not clear which stars Chazal had in mind when they said Beinanim. So when we grapple with Bein HaShemashos, we don't know, is it dark enough yet to be considered nighttime? Is it not dark enough yet to be considered nighttime? It's not that we don't know whether nighttime is based on Tzitzik Chavim or based on something else, maybe Shkiyas HaChama. We know that nighttime is based on Tzitzik Chavim, but we don't know when to consider it Tzitzik Chavim. And starting from Shkiyas HaChama, we start to be mesupik that maybe that's really Tzitzik Chavim. And that's why we're considering it Bein HaShemashos. We're considering it Safek Laila because maybe that's really late enough to be Tzitzik Chavim. So that's Tosfos. Tosfos writes this in a few places. Shabbos, Megillah, Psachim. The state of Tosfos is that Bein HaShemashos, if I can sort of rephrase that, what comes out according to Tosfos is that Bein HaShemashos is just a Safek that's based on a lack of knowledge. Meaning, we don't know which stars Chazal had in mind. Now, okay, it's not just that we don't know what Chazal had in mind. Chazal themselves had a suffix. So I guess Chazal didn't know what the earlier Chazal had in mind. Mm-hmm. And maybe everybody didn't know what Moshe Rabbeinu had in mind. But according to Tosfos' explanation of Bein HaShemashos, if you'd go back to ask Moshe Rabbeinu, when does the night start? He would probably have been able to point to his watch and say, at such and such a time, at 7 o'clock, at 6 o'clock, tonight. I mean, obviously it changes every night. But presumably he knew which stars make it nighttime. And we only have a suffix because we don't know which stars. But if you know which stars make it nighttime, then you wouldn't have a suffix because the fact is clear that nighttime starts at Tzitzik Chavim. And if you only knew which Chavim were meant, then you would always know whether it's daytime or nighttime. So Bein HaShemashos is only for we uninformed people that are missing some information. We have a Bein HaShemashos. But if somebody would really have all the information, now, okay, Klal Yisrael hasn't had that, we know, for a long time, but maybe in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, there would have been no such thing as Bein HaShemashos. That's what would seem to follow based on this thesis. Or at the very least, maybe you'll tell me that even, you know, I don't know if you're allowed to say this, that maybe Hashem never even made it clear to Moshe Rabbeinu. But certainly, certainly, if you ask Hashem Yisparach, is it day now or is it night now? He should always be able to tell you, right? Because he knows that the nighttime starts at Tzitzik Kachavim, and he knows which Kachavim he means. So, Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no such thing as Bein HaShemashos. I think that we should be confident in saying, according to what we learned in Tosfos, that Bein HaShemashos is simply a suffix about which kechavim are meant when we talk about Tzitzik Kechavim, then it's all about a chasaron yediyah, a lack of knowledge, and to someone who has all the information, presumably Moshe Rabbeinu, but certainly, certainly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvadi v'atzmai, there's no such thing as Bein HaShemashos.
Aren't the stars always there, or just that during the sun is out, you don't see them?
Yeah,
so
right,
the
that's
stars
true.
Come
yeah.
out, meaning, like, when you can see them, no?
Right, all right, right. Yeah, that's what
which
we said,
one?
Right, that... That the term Tzitzik Chavim, right, is really a little bit of an imprecise term. I mean, it's no less precise than Netzach Chama and Shkiyas Chama. Those all mean the apparent Netzach Chama and the apparent Shkiyas Chama. So there's also the apparent Tzitzik Chavim. Right? The stars don't really go anywhere, but we can't see them. Then when we see them, we call that Tzitzik Chavim.
So the three stars, Motzei Shabbos, is it those gehalten?
Sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, it comes from the Gemara, Shabbos Lamed Hey. It says three stars, and it says that three stars should be Beinanim. But even so, Tosfos says, but we don't really know when that is. That's why we have a Bein HaShemashos.
And who's judging what, which ones and what, right?
Right. So that's why we have a Bein HaShemashos. But okay, but this is all according to this presentation of Bein HaShemashos.
Yeah.
It's a suffix for the uninformed. So here's a challenge. Here's a challenge to that understanding of Bein HaShemashos. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says Asar Devarim Nivru Bein HaShemashos. There were 10 things that were created, Bein HaShemashos. meaning at the end of the sixth day of creation, and it says the Pia Aretz, the Pia Be'er, the Pia Asain, the Mon, the Keshes, remember all of them, I think the Mata of Moshe, I'm missing one, and the Luchos, and the Ksav, and the Michtav, which one are I missing? Oh, and the Shamir, I think. Those are the 10 things. They were Nivru Bein HaShemashos. So, what is that? Hashem created them Bein HaShemashos. In the time of Bria Sa'ilam. Hashem created them in a time that was, it wasn't known whether the stars had come out yet. Who didn't know? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu created things Bein HaShemashos.
But that's considered the Agadotus, more, you know.
Okay, fine. So let's say maybe it doesn't mean literally. So it's an Agadata, and it just means to convey an idea. But what's the idea that it means to convey? So let's go morale, right? That's what you mean to be saying.
Second, when it turns from night to day, it's not been a shmashus, like a period of time, like we know, like 10, 15
minutes. It might have been the day or night.
But I'm saying, at that...
So when it turned, it was night, right? At that second, there is no second. Maybe it means that he squeezed it in at the end of the day, at the very end of the day.
Why wouldn't they just say b'sefer yom? What did Chazal mean to convey? Right? Would you like Donnie's saying that maybe we don't have to take it so literally, but Chazal means to be conveying a message. So the Maral says that. This collection of 10 things are 10 things that aren't quite in the Olam HaGashmi, which would belong to the Sheishes of Me'a Maisa, and they aren't quite in the Olam HaRuchni, which would belong to the Yom Shekulei Shabbos HaMenucha. They're hovering in between. And so it's described as Nivru Bein HaShemashos. Now, whether it means literally that they were Nivru then, because I think that's what the morale means, that it was they were created, Bein HaShemashos, because they don't quite belong to this period of time or to that period of time, so they were created in between.
What does that mean, though?
What is
the piyasa?
It means the mouth of Bilam's donkey. What's that doing on this list?
The donkey didn't have a mouth?
No, it means it's koyach hadibur. Certainly, about some or maybe all of the things on the list, we can have an interesting discussion, but the general flavor of all of them taken together is that they're things that sort of straddle the line between Olam HaRuch and Olam HaGash. At least that's the way that the Maral presents it. But and therefore, they were created Bein HaShemashos. So, if really there's just two things, two types of time. There's day and there's night. And Bein HaShemashos is for the people that can't look carefully enough to know if it's day or night. So when exactly were these things created? If they were created in the daytime, then they belong to the... I mean, Hashem knows when's day and when's night, right? There's no Bein HaShemashos Klap Yishmaya. So did he create them in the daytime, in which case they belong to the Olam HaGashmi, or did he create them in the nighttime, in which case they belong to the Olam HaRuchni? The mashmos of this Mishnah, certainly the way the Maral reads it, is that Bein HaShemashos is not a suffix that comes from a lack of knowledge, that since we don't know which stars were meant, so we don't know now if it's day or night. Bein HaShemashos is something that's neither day nor night. Yes, the Gemara says that nighttime starts at Tzitzik Chavim, but daytime ends somewhere before, earlier than that. And in between is something called Bein HaShemashos, which is neither day nor night. It's a third type of time. To use a mashal that might make it more relatable, and it's an androgynous. Androgynous is a bria b'fnei atzma. It's not a zachar. It's not an akeva. So Bein HaShemashos is a bria b'fnei atzma. It's not yoim. It's not laila. It's something in between. It's something that maybe has the properties of both to some degree. And then the morale's reading of the Mishnah, which really is the simple reading of the Mishnah. The Mishnah means to be saying that these are in between kind of things. So they're created in an in between kind of a time. And that's Bein HaShemashos. So Bein HaShemashos is not a suffix. I mean, it's a suffix in halacha, perhaps, a suffix of how we're supposed to treat it. But its metzius is not based on a suffix of a chesaron yediyah, of a lack of knowledge, but it's a metzias of neither day nor night, or maybe both day or both night, but it's its own type of a time.
Chutz la teva?
What?
Chutz la teva?
No. No. The teva is that the darkness comes gradually, and there's when it's light, that's called day. When it's fully dark, that's called night. And there's an area in between which has its own name. Bein Hashmasha, it's not really day and it's not really night. That's what it seems like from this Maral, from this Mishnah. There's a nice book card to this. There's a Rashi in Psachim on Daf Hey. Now it's a little bit of it's a complicated Shakavatari over there. I don't want to get bogged down in the details. I'll try to just give over the gist of it. The Gemara over there, there's a whole daf of a Gemara that's talking about the pasuk over Yom Rishon Tashpitzu Ami Ach by Yom Rishon Tashpitzu Ami Batechem. On the first day, you should get rid of the chametz. So that pasuk is a very misleading pasuk. It says this, Pesach is a 7-day Yom Tov, and on the first day you should get rid of the chametz. So if you read the pasuk straight, it sounds like it means the first day of Yom Tov. But Chazal say, of course, it doesn't mean that. It really means on Erev Yom Tov. And there's a whole daf of Gemara that's devoted to many different Tanoim and Amirayim telling us how they know that the Yom HaRishon over there doesn't really mean Yom Tov, it really means Erev Yom Tov. So Abaye says, because it says by Yom HaRishon Tashmitz Yom HaVateichem, but it also says Shivas Yomim Sir Lo Yimasi HaVateichem. 7 days you have to be chametz free. Now, if you get rid of the chametz on day one, then how are you, and day one of the seven, so how are you chametz free for 7 days? The beginning of the first day, that's part of the 7 days, you weren't chametz free because you were busy getting rid of your chametz. So based on that, Abaye says that since there's a collision, there's a stira between Tashpitzu and Shivas Yom Lo Yimatzei, it must be that Yom HaRishon really is Erev Pesach. And then, many lines later on that daf, Rabbi Yossi comes along and he says something kind of similar but not quite the same. He says that it says Yom HaRishon Tashpitzu, but right, which sounds like you should do it on the first day of Pesach, but it says Ach Chilek. And it says Ach by Yom HaRishon, and with the Chazal Dash and Ach Chilek, that the day that's called Yom HaRishon is cut in half, that a whole half of the day is devoted to destroying the chametz. So if that was day one of Pesach, how could that be? That what, 6 hours of the first day are allowed to be spent destroying the chametz? It says Shivas Yom Sarlei Masav Teichem. You have to get rid of the chametz before your 7 days start. So how could Yom HaRishon be Pesach? Oh, it must be that Yom HaRishon is really Erev Pesach. Fakt Rashi Akasha, why did he have to bring in that it says Ach, and Ach implies that it's a whole 6 hours? What was wrong with the way that I said it first? That it says Shivas Yom Sarlei Masav Teichem. You have to be chametz free for seven days. And if it says for Yom HaRishon means the first day of Pesach, so even if you can do it in the first minute, but it's already encroaching on the 7 days. Why did he have to bring in the fact that it says Ach by Yom HaRishon, and that implies that you have hours and hours to do it? And if I didn't have an implication that there were hours and hours, but it takes at least a few minutes to do it, Zukt Rashi, the reason why Rabbi Yossi said it this way is because if you didn't have the Ach Chilek, which implies that there's hours and hours to do it, you could have said that maybe both are true. It's Ach B'Yom HaRishon, it means the first day, you should get rid of your chametz. And it's also true that Shivas Yom Sirlei Masav Teichem, that your house has to be chametz free for the whole 7 days. So when do you do it? You do it B'Yom HaShmashes. That's what Rashi says on the bottom of Heyam and Alfam Sachem, that I would have interpreted that when should you get rid of your chametz? On the B'Yom HaShmashes, when night falls on the first night of Pesach. Which means that would, if I have two pesukim about the same period of time, and one says that you do have chametz then, and one says that you don't have chametz then, so you could reconcile that by saying, yeah, it's Bein HaShmashes, because that's a little bit already part of the 7 days, it's already Pesach, but it's a little bit not Pesach, meaning in the Torah's terminology itself, it could be Efshar L'Kayim Shneim, it could be called both. It's partially still day and it's partially already night.
It's Safek Yom, Safek Laila, right? Are we learning right now that based on those brothers is Safek Yom, Safek Laila?
Yes.
So if it's Safek Yom, Safek Laila, then it's not. It could be Laila, Which means, again, you're still encroaching on the day.
It's a sub, no, but now what we're saying is that it's a suffix, meaning we have a suffix about how to treat it, but it's really, it's its own entity. So then in this, so you're right, when it comes to Shabbos, we treat it as a suffix, so we go L'chumra. But over here, where the Torah says two things about it, so we'd reconcile those two things by saying the Torah is instructing us that over here, the B'nai Shemashah should be treated as daytime. I mean, not really as daytime. It's called Ach B'yom Rishon, meaning as Pesach, but not le'inyin this Shivas Yom Soleil Masav Adeichem. It is Pesach, and it's not Pesach, because the Torah told us two things about the beginning of Pesach. So we could reconcile those two things by saying that it's B'nai Shemashah. That Rashi sounds like, you know, if B'nai Shemashah is the way we were explaining first, right, Tesis Pshat, that it's just, you know, because we don't know well enough, then there can't be a pasuk in the Torah that you're miyashi by saying, oh, it's talking about B'nai Shemashah. To the Torah, there was no such thing as B'nai Shemashah. The Torah knew what was what. So from this Rashi,
day, it sounds like that.
No, but it's also be called Yom HaRishon, meaning the first day of Pesach.
No, because if it would be considered night, then you'd be over Chometz.
You would maybe Shivas Yom Soleil Masav Atechem. Right. If it was night, it would be a violation of Shivas Yom Soleil Masav Atechem. But on the other hand, if it was still Erev Pesach, then it wouldn't be called B'yom HaRishon, because B'yom HaRishon we're saying that would mean the first day of Pesach. So we're saying it is called the first day of Pesach, but it's not called part of the 7 days of Pesach. How could it, yes, be part of Pesach and not be part of Pesach at the same time? Zok Rashi, B'nai Shemashah. So if you're using B'nai Shemashah to reconcile a steer within the psukim themselves, that means that you hold that it's a be'etzem suffix, or a be'etzem kind of an in-between. And it's true. Right, no, the halacha would still be that we're machmir on that time period. But we're machmir, even though it's not quite Laila, there's a din that you have to treat it with the halachas of Laila, or that you have to treat it with the halachas of Yoim, misafek. But it's metzius, is that it's a in-between entity, like an androgynous. So this Rashi supports that morale. The best makar in Rishonim to this idea is, but this goes even further afield into obscure sugyas. But there's a Gemara in Yumin Daf Mem Zayin. It's talking about how you do kamitza. What's kamitza? When you bring a carbon mincha to the Beis Hamikdash, so there's no zrikas hadam on the mizbeach. There's no dam. It's just flour. What goes on the mizbeach? A handful of flour. You take a handful of flour and you put that on the mizbeach. And the Gemara describes how the handful is, just what's between these three fingers. That's what's called the handful. And then the Gemara asks, what about, and the Gemara uses a very interesting expression, bein habeinim, right, which means like between the betweens. And without getting into what exactly the Gemara means by that, but the Gemara is referring to some flour that's like kind of inside the fist and kind of outside the fist, but it's in between. So the Gemara says, I don't remember now the name, one of the Amirayim, Gemara says, boy, he had this shayla, bein habeinim mahu. What's the din? Is that considered part of the kamitza and it can go onto the mizbeach? Or do you have to brush that off, like you brush off the stuff that's not inside the fist? And then the Gemara says, so it's a good shayla. Then the Gemara says, Basar debaya hadar pashta. After he asked his shayla, then he answered his shayla. And what did he say? Bein habeinim safek. That the in between the betweens is a safek. So Jesus asks, well, first he had a shayla, I mean, he didn't know the din. They said, oh, now I thought of it. Now I know the din. The din is a suffix. What's the difference between before he knew it and after he knew it? Before he knew it, he didn't know, and now after he still doesn't know. What's the difference between saying it's a baya, it's a shayla, and saying it's a suffix? So Tosfos, just bloodshed, Tosfos says that it's a strange Gemara. He doesn't know what to make of it. The Ritva on that Gemara, Yumin Daf Mem Zayin, says, I'll tell you what he means. He meant to say, first he thought that he doesn't know the din. Then he decided that really it's like B'nai Shemashah, that it's considered both. And he refers to B'nai Shemashah. He says that he was giving it a status of suffix as opposed to just a suffix of chasarin yediyah, a suffix that arises from lack of knowledge. But it was a suffix be'etzem, that the Torah considered it a suffix, and then he compares that to B'nai Shemashah. He says, K'may B'nai Shemashah. So the Rishva over there is a very clear, straight makar that... I have to turn it off. It's a very straightforward makar to this idea that B'nai Shemashah is more than just something that, you know, we don't know when the night's supposed to start, but no, it was built into the Bria that there's this in-between time period that's not quite day and not quite night. It may have the dinim of night for some things and day for some things, and or maybe l'chumra on both. Those are its dinim, but its mitzius is that it's neither day nor night. Now, you know what? One other makar that's interesting, that's relevant to this discussion, but sort of in the opposite direction, it says, Rashi brings down, Vayichal elikim bayim hashvi. It says, Vayichu hashmayim v'aretz v'chol tzva. Vayichal elikim bayim hashvi. Hashem completed creation on the seventh day. So Rashi is bothered by Akasha. He completed the creation on the seventh day. Didn't he complete the creation in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day? So Rashi has multiple answers. But one of the things that Rashi says is that it was nearer as if he completed on the seventh day because he went down to the wire, right down to the last second. Why? Because Basar V'dam She'eni Yediya Ita V'Raga'av, people who can't be so precise, so they have to be Moisef Menachal Al HaKodesh. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's able to be perfectly precise, so he has no need to be Moisef Menachal Al HaKodesh. That sounds like any need that we have to laharchik min avera is only because of a lack of knowledge, right? This is a Rashi, a Medrash, which sounds like the first way that we were saying, that in the real world, really, like in Hashem's eyes, there's no bein hashmashos, it's either day or it's night. And if you have a very, very accurate clock, like Kaviyachal, like the Baruch Hu has, then you could do Malacha right up till Tzitzik HaKavim. That's the mashmos of that Rashi. So this, which again, we say we're not calling it a wrong shot. That's how Tosfos says clearly. So there's makaris on both sides of this chakira. The chakira is being a shmasha, is a suffix simply because we don't know which stars are meant by Tzitzik HaKavim, or is being a shmasha is really something that's before Tzitzik HaKavim, but it's neither day nor night, and therefore it has a halacha that you're supposed to treat it as a suffix yom suffix laila.
Now, even though we know when it is, we may, if we know this concept of Gedarah, no, and to make sure you don't come close to the, Hashem could come close to the wire, right?
Right.
The wire, but we can't because we should watch out.
Right, but that means that our only reason, that what that implies, I think, is that the only reason...
Just keeping away, just to not get
some... Like to give cover.
Then
why wouldn't... I mean, the lashon of Rashi over there is because Basav Adam is Eini Yedeya Ita V'Ragav. That does sound like it's
Mishnah. Would it be the same in the morning, Alois and Nets, and like the same kind of in between?
Yes. Actually, I don't know. That's a good question. If we say this, shouldn't it follow that there's a similar thing over there? But Chazal never talk about Ebein HaShemashos in the morning. And
so it's probably not as significant.
There's a very big difference. I'm saying the nighttime, the beginning of the nighttime, is way more important. Because that's when the day changes, right? Shabbos, Yom Tov.
But you have Makar for it, Kachatzai Salaila, Bachatzai Salaila.
We said that over there also, that's the idea of a Kachatzai Salaila.
Right.
Bachatzai,
Maisha said Kachatzai, because people don't know. They can make a mistake.
Right. Okay, so now this is all, I guess, philosophically speaking, what is Bein HaShemashos? You know, like on a philosophical level, is it suffix? Is it some in between status? But now, on a more practical level, when is Bein HaShemashos? Right? What is Bein HaShemashos like on the clock in halacha? So this is a little bit of a complex area of halacha, but very, very relevant, very negeya, right? On a very regular basis. And
very controversial.
Very controversial. The reason why it's so controversial is because it starts with two Gemaras. The Gemara seems to address it in two different places and says two very different things. One Gemara is in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, and Amud Beis, onto Lamed Hey, Amud Aleph. That Gemara we referenced already earlier. There's different opinions of Tanoim, but Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Within Rabbi Yehuda, there's a Machalik Hazamei Rayim. Rabbi Yehuda had talked in terms of, you know, how you know, this half of the sky, that half of the sky, and then the Amiraim said, let's translate that into more practical terms. And Rav Yosef said that it means Shnei Shlishei Mil, two-thirds of a mil, and Rava says it means Shlosha Chelkei Mil, three-quarters of a mil. And that's how long Menash Mashis is. Simple reading of the Gemara means that from when the sun goes down, there's that amount of time of Safek, and at the end of that, it's Sesek Chavim. That's the Mashmos of the Gemara. Now, what are those? Now, mil is a mile, right? It's the same word. It's not measured exactly the same because, you know, over the course of history, people have used that word to describe, you know, different measurements, but it's always meant a measure of distance. And in Chazal, a mil is 2,000 amis. So when we talk about, when they use this as a measure of time, right? Rabbi and Rav Yosef, when they talk about two-thirds of a mil or three-quarters of a mil as a measure of time, they mean because we all know how much time it takes for a person to walk a mil, and now two-thirds of that amount of time, or three-quarters of that amount of time, that's Menash Mashis. So how long is that? So shortly, I'm going to bring in the other Gemara, which is where we're going to get these numbers from. But now we'll just, for argument's sake, because this is the most widely held opinion, is that a mil is 18 minutes. A hiluch, meaning again, a mil is 2,000 amos, but the length of time that it takes a person to walk a mil is 18 minutes. We'll see soon where that number comes from.
Isn't there a machlekes what an amma is?
True, yes.
So then, by definition, that will impact the length of a mil.
No, because we're not, as Paiskim, practically, we're not trying to figure out what's the hiluch mil by telling people, okay, on your market, set, go, and measuring right. How long it takes them to walk. We're trying to figure it out from the Gemara. We'll see soon the other Gemara, which gives us the key to convert the measures of distance into measures of time. There is a Gemara that gives us that. So that's what our Shiur Rav is done. So we'll see that shortly. But suppose, for argument's sake, like one reading of the Gemara, that a mil is a time of 18 minutes, meaning a hiluch mil takes 18 minutes to walk. So then when Rabbi says that Bena Shemashis is three-quarters of a mil, three-quarters of 18, it's not such an easy fraction, but it comes out to 13 and a half. 13 and a half minutes, that's Bena Shemashis. So again, according to Rav Yosef, we said two-thirds of a mil, it's 12 minutes. So it's 12 minutes or 13 and a half minutes. Rabbi Rav Yosef, we pass on like Rav Yosef. So based on that Gemara, we would come away saying that Bein HaShemashis is 13 and a half minutes. So today, I didn't check, but let's say I know on Shabbos, Shkiyas Chayim was 6:17. Let's say today is...
But it also depends which latitude you're in,
huh? Right. It's very different depending on where you are in the
latitude,
world.
You mean... So you're going like this, that's altitude.
Sunset, no,
but you
I
mean right, right, you mean where you are relative to the equator. Right. True, yeah. True. Okay, we're going to believe that. I hope we'll come to that. No. Sunset doesn't go faster, but the darkening following sunset, that's what goes faster. So we're going to believe that. We're going to come to that shortly, in a few minutes. That's what we're going to get into.
Is it 60 seconds? Oh, right, or you see the sun it depends on how long a minute is. Just like an animal, it could be depending the size.
No. I'm talking 60 second minutes. Yeah. How do we got those shiurim? We'll see from the next Gemara. But based on this Gemara, it seems to come out that Bein HaShemashis is 13 and a half minutes. So let's say Shkia today, I didn't check, but it's somewhere around 6:15. That's what we call it, 6:15. So 6:15 will be Shkia Zechama. Then there will be 13 minutes of Bein HaShemashis. And by 6:28, 6:29, it will be called Tzedek Rabim. That's Gemara number one. That's Shabbos Lamed Daled. Then there's another Gemara, Psachim Daf Tzadi Daled, that says that from Shkia Zechama until Tzedek Rabim is 4 mil. It's the length of time that it takes to walk 4 mil. Now, and the stira is obvious. If the first one said it's a fraction of 1 mil, and this one says it's 4 mil, so obviously that's a much, much longer time. If a mil is 18 minutes, so then that's going to come to 4 mil is 72 minutes. If Shkia Zechama is 6:15, so it's not going to be Tzedek Rabim until 7:27. According to the first shir, it was going to be Tzedek Rabim at 6:29. So there's obviously a very big discrepancy between these two zmanim. So that's the stira that has to be worked on. But before that, let me say over a little more of that Gemara and Psachim. The Gemara and Psachim that says that it's 4 mil. it says that a person could walk 4 mil from Shkiyas HaKham until Tzeis HaRavim, after the sun sets till it's dark. The Gemara says that similarly, a person could walk 4 mil from Alis HaShachar until Netzach Hama, from dawn, which is when it starts to get light, until sunrise. A person could walk 4 mil. And then the Gemara says, this is really a Braisa talking, the Braisa says, and a mahalich adam bayoim, what's the distance that a person walks in a whole day, is as eser parsois, 10 parsois. Now a parsa is 4 mil. So 10 parsois means 40 mil. So the Gemara tells us two things. It says that you could walk 4 mil from Moshe Shachat Tzeis HaChama, 4 mil from Shkiyas HaChama till Tzeis HaChavim, and 40 mil in a day. Now, there's two ways to read this Gemara. When it says 40 mil in a day, does that mean including those four at the beginning and those four at the end, meaning we're measuring the day from Alayt HaShachar till Tzeis HaChavim, that day in which we already decided that you could walk 4 mil in the first part, then 4 mil in the last part, and in between, another 32 mil. Now, that's one way of reading the Gemara.
48.
Or do we mean, is the Gemara really saying three different distances? You walk 4 mil there, and 4 mil there, and also 10 mil here, meaning on the day, the 10 mil, sorry, 10 parasol, which is 40 mil, from Netzach Hama until Shkiyas HaChama, while the sun is shining, from sunrise to sunset, 40 mil, which means that altogether over the course of the day, it's 48 mil.
Winter or summer?
Ah, winter or summer. So, give me more choices. Winter or summer?
Shazmanios.
Right, so give me more choices. Not winter, not summer.
Fall and spring,
for sure. Because, right, since obviously it changes over the course of the day, over the course of the year, changes over the course of the year. So if the Gemara says day, obviously means an average day. So it means the day of the fall and the spring, right? Near the equinox. So now this Gemara gives us a conversion from distances to time. Because from Netzach Hama to Shkiyas HaChama, we know how long that is. Of course, it varies over the course of the year, but surely Chazal meant on an average day, which is 12 hours. So the Gemara is telling us that you could walk, the Gemara is telling us how long you could walk in 12 hours, and from that we can figure out how much what's the distance that it takes to walk a parsa, what's the time that it takes to walk a parsa, what's the time that it takes to walk a mil. So how far could you walk in 12 hours? There's two readings of the Gemara. The first way that we read the Gemara, that when it says in a day you go 10 parsois, which is 40 mil, it meant including the four at the beginning and the four at the end. So in the 12 hours,
32.
You're walking 32. 32 mil in 12 hours, that means that in each hour you walk 2 2/3.
2.8.
Two and 8/12, right? That's 2 2/3 mil in an hour, which comes out to 22 and a half minutes for each mil. 22 and a half brings us to 45, and then 2/3. Then you have 15 minutes left. Is 2/3, right, it's 2/3 of another mil, right? Because 15 is 2/3 of 22 and a half. That works out, right? Because a half of 15 is 7.5. Okay, so this brings us to, so if you read the Gemara this way, that the Eser Parsois Bayoim means altogether, including the four before and the four after, so that means that the 12 hours is 32 mil, that brings you to a 22 and a half minute mil. 1 mil is 22 and a half minutes. If you read the Gemara the other way, that it was 4 mil before sunrise, 4 mil after sunrise, but 4 mil before sunrise, 4 mil after sunset, but 40 separate mil, not including those, from sunrise to sunset, so that's 40 mil in 12 hours. So what does that come to? That's 3 and, right? 40 divided by 12 is 36 remainder 4, or 36 and 4/12, 36 and a third. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, three and a third mil in an hour, and that is an 18-minute mil, right? Because 18 times 3 is 54, plus another third of 18 is 6 minutes. That completes the hour. So if you read the Gemara the first way, then every mil in halacha, a hiluch mil in halacha, is 22 and a half minutes. If you read the Gemara the second way, then every mil in halacha is 18 minutes. The Shach endorses the second way. That's why the most widely accepted practice is, or shita, is the 18-minute mil. But you have both shittas in halacha, and that's why, you know, so let's say when we talked about the Gemara saying that from Shkia, the Gemara in Pesachim that says that from Shkia Sachama until Tzeis HaKachavim is 4 mil, right, which if we come back to our Stira, how long is Ben HaShemashah? So one Gemara made Ben HaShemashah is very short. The other Gemara makes Ben HaShemashah is quite a bit longer. How long? It said 4 mil, which I translated before as 72 minutes. According to the first reading of the Gemara, it's actually 90 minutes. 4 mils, 4 times 22 and a half. 22 and a half times 2 is 45, right? Or and times 4 is going to be 90. So that's why Ben HaShemashah might be as long as 90 minutes. But if you read the Gemara the other way, that it's 40 mil within the 12 hours, so then it comes out to Ben HaShemashah being 72 minutes. Either way, it's much, much longer than the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos says 3/4 mil. How long is that? So we called that before 13 and a half minutes. That's if you consider a mil to be 18 minutes. If you consider a mil to be 22 and a half minutes, so then the fractions get too complicated. 11 and a quarter is half of that, and then another half of that is 16 and a quarter, I think 16... We have to add an eighth, 16 and 3/8 minutes, something like that. But we're still in the neighborhood of, right, 13, 14, 15, 16 minutes. Much, much shorter than the Gemara Pesachim, which is 72 or maybe 90 minutes. So now we'll get rid of the other sheet. We'll follow the Shach. And we'll call these, we'll work with the numbers of 13 and a half minutes from the Gemara in Shabbos, 72 minutes from the Gemara in Pesachim. But that's a huge discrepancy. How do you reconcile these two Gemaras?
What's the share about?
So Tosfos in a number of places brings down Rabbeinu Tam. You know, Tosfos in Shas quotes Rabbeinu Tam hundreds of times. It's by far the most widely quoted name in Tosfos, one of the most influential people in the history of halacha. But by far, the most influential chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam is this chiddush, where Rabbeinu Tam, in being miyashiv, these two gemaras about the zmanim, Rabbeinu Tam said he said that there's two shkiyas, that the gemara means different things in different places when it refers to shkiyas achama. When the gemara in Pesachim says that from shkiyas achama until tzeis kachavim, it's 72 minutes, that their shkiyas achama means sunset. From sunset, meaning when this is, what's sunset? When the sun disappears from the sky. During the day, you can see the sun in the sky. As the afternoon goes on, you see it getting lower and lower in the west till it hits the horizon. And then the next minute, it's not there. You see it like flat, you know, on a straight line from your eyes. And then the next minute, it's not there anymore. That's sunset. From there until Tzeis HaKachavim is 72 minutes. That's the Gemara in Pesachim. But when the Gemara says that Ben HaShemashah is 13 and a half minutes, it doesn't mean the 13 and a half minutes immediately after sunset. It means the 13 and a half minutes immediately before Tzeis HaKachavim. Meaning the last 13 and a half minutes of those 72, that's Ben HaShemashah. And what it's measuring is the time from what he calls the Shkia Shnia, the second Shkia, till Tzeis HaKachavim. What's the second Shkia? So, you know, it's not really clear because he uses the terms, the astronomical terms that the Gemara Pesachim uses, which aren't really, you know, can't be taken literally from our perspective nowadays, because the Gemara is talking about things like the thickness of the sky. Sort of, you know, if we can take the liberty of kind of translating it into modern terminology, what the Gemara means when it talks about the thickness of the sky is how far below the horizon the sun goes, that it's still considered to be a little bit in the sky. And then when it goes even further than that, we can say that it's considered out of the sky altogether. Meaning even after it's invisible, but it's still considered to have some shaykhis when it's not too far away, not too far below the horizon. And then at a certain point we say, okay, now it's very far. That's when it's, we'll call it finished setting. And then starts Minash Mashreis. When does that happen? 13 and a half minutes before, 72 minutes after the visible sunset. Or in other words, let's do subtraction here. 72 minus 13 and a half is 58 and a half. So that the Banish Moshe starts 58 and a half minutes after sunset. That's what Benu Tam Zisoid. The sun sets and you look at it and you're watching the sun and it disappears from the sky. That moment is a meaningless moment in halacha. The only reason why it's helpful is because that starts your clock. Now you know when Seitzik HaKavim, 72 minutes from now. But at this moment, when the sun disappeared, it doesn't make it Banish Mashreis. It's still daytime. It's still completely considered daytime. Banish Mashreis is not going to start for another almost an hour, 58 and a half minutes. Now, I need to keep track of this time so that I know when those 58 and a half minutes are. It's 58 and a half minutes from when the sun disappears from the sky. And Vade Laila is 72 minutes from when the sun disappears from the sky. So that moment when the sun disappears is important for my calculations, but it's not important for any halachas. It's not too late to daven mincha. It's not too late to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It's not too late to do malacha on Erev Shabbos. It's still daytime. L'chol ha'inyanim. That was the Seder of Rabbeinu Tam. And with that, who's Miyashi of the two Gemaras? It is 13 and a half minutes. But it's not the 13 and a half minutes after sunset. It's the 13 and a half minutes before 72. That's true. But Rabbeinu Tam said that you could. Now, this Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam was a very widely accepted Chiddush in the Rishonim. The Baal HaTosfos, maybe not all, but certainly was widely accepted by the Baal HaTosfos. And it also was accepted by the Chachamim in Spain, the Talmidim of the Ramban. The Rashba endorses this Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. Mm-hmm. And it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's the Mechaber's opinion, and it's the Ramah's opinion. All of the Gedalia Paiskim.
It's after Skir.
Right. Now, this is very foreign to us, because it means that the sun goes down. Forget about Mincha. Erev Shabbos is saying you could still do Malacha after the sun goes down. In the times of the Rishonim, that was a very, very widely accepted Shita, and even after the times of the Rishonim, because the Shulchan Aruch paskens that way. Okay, what's the other Shita, and what's the alternative explanation? So there's a Tshuvas HaGa'inim that addressed the Stira also, and had a much simpler resolution to the Stira. The simple resolution was, you have two Gemaras, they're contradicting each other, pay attention to one of them. Don't get distracted by the other one. The Gemara in Shabbos, that's the halachic Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos is coming to talk about when Shabbos starts. And over there it says that Banish Mashreis is 13 and a half minutes. So, okay, sun goes down at 6:15 today, you have Banish Mashreis for 13 and a half minutes, and then by 6:28, 29, it's Seitzik Chavim, it's Vade Laila. The other Gemara in Pesachim, it's an interesting Gemara, but it wasn't really talking about halacha. It wasn't coming to talk about when the day starts, when the day ends. It was really, it was an astronomy Gemara. It was talking about how thick the sky is, how long it takes for the sun to move over the earth and to move through the sky. And talks about how far people could walk during the day. Interesting stuff in that Gemara, but you take it as an agarata. So it's not really halachic. It's if you want to know, I guess that Gemara is telling you how long it takes till the sun finishes its whole journey. Yeah, that takes 72 minutes. But that's not relevant to halacha. La halacha, we have just the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos says that Banish Mashreis is 13 and a half minutes, so you have that much time after Shkia, and then it becomes Vade Laila. So that's written in the Tshuvas HaGa'inim. I mean, it's really and then it kind of disappeared. Meaning in the Rishonim, it's very little exposure to this Shita during the times of the Rishonim. The Vilna Gaon Now, this is jumping very far ahead. The Vilna Gaon is in the 1700s, right? The Rabbeinu Tam was in the 1100s. We said the Rashba in the 1200s endorsed this Rabbeinu Tam, and then the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, and the Ramah in the 1500s endorsed this Rabbeinu Tam. Again, there very likely were people that were following other practices along the way, but this was the dominant shita that appears in the Sifrei HaPoskim for many centuries. The Vilna Gaon came along in the 1700s, and he said that he thinks there's very, very strong arguments against this Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. And the Vilna Gaon, who, you know, had was more bold and independent than most Paiskim, he said that he thinks that you have to take this alternative teretz from the Gaonim and consider it equally valid, equally relevant to halacha. So what does that mean, equally valid? So they're both right? They're two very, you know, very different approaches. So the Gaon's opinion was that you have to take both of them l'chumrah. Meaning, what does that mean, both of them l'chumrah? So which this chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam, is it a chumrah or is it a kula? So the answer is, it all depends on whether you're talking about Erev Shabbos or Matzah Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, it's a very big kula to follow Rabbeinu Tam, that you can continue to do malach after the sun sets. But on Matzah Shabbos, it's a very big chumrah that you can't start doing malach until it gets very dark. So the Vilna Gaon said that, okay, Matzah Shabbos, we should continue to follow Rabbeinu Tam. We shouldn't start doing malach earlier than we used to. But on Erev Shabbos, you can't go do malacha after Shkia, where according to the Gaonim, and he brings right, even though there aren't really other Rishonim that say it explicitly, but he brings Rayas that other Rishonim may have also held this way, and others bring Rayas also. The Rambam, there's a Tosfos even that sounds like that. It might be Shabbos. You have to consider the possibility that it might be Shabbos, and therefore he said you can't do malacha anymore once the sun sets. After Bechayshav of the Shita of the Gaon, once the sun sets, you can't do malacha. And the Vilna Gaon took it further, that legabe all halachas that are tali on day, you know, the mitzvahs that are tali on day, like blowing shofar and Rosh Hashanah, saying halal, and of course every single day davening mincha. Davening mincha is supposed to be done in the daytime, so the Vilna Gaon said it can't be done past sunset. Of course, according to Rabbeinu Tam, all these things could be done past sunset, but the Vilna Gaon said we should be machmir not to do these things after sunset. At the same time that we're being machmir not to consider it vade laila until Rabbeinu Tam's man, but so we have a much longer suffix. Now it's interesting. We call it bein hashmashos, but that's really a borrowed term. That's not bein hashmashos. Bein hashmashos is not 72 minutes long. Bein hashmashos, according to everyone, is 13 minutes long. But Zuck the Gras, since those 13 minutes might be over here and might be over there, and from the beginning of this one until the end of that one is a space of 72 minutes, so we're going to treat all of that like a suffix. So really, we have like a suffix bein hashmashos. Right? We have times that we're considered that we're in a suffix bein hashmashos. But that, and that was what the Gras endorsed. Now, the Gras, obviously, his sphere of influence, primarily, at least at the beginning, was in Lithuania. But over the next, you know, century or two, this practice spread. The Mishnah Berurah Paskin like this very emphatically, and the Mishnah Berurah was a very influential sefer, so that helped for it to spread. Despite all of that, it was not universal in Europe. I don't think.
Kitzur does the Paskin.
What?
Kitzur goes the other way.
What does the Kitzur say?
The Kitzur goes with the Leitchkin.
He says, even the guy with Erev Shabbos,
he's just Erev Shabbos. People that have Shabbos is different. The only as far as like Mincha, to daven Mincha.
Okay. Here's the big test.
Chassam Sefer also davened after what
we certainly, doing. Right. Chassam Sefer. So there's a very interesting tshuva in the Chassam Sefer. Chassam Sefer, a fascinating tshuva. So he had a shayla about. He was no chassid, but he also, he would, you know, he didn't live in Lithuania. He was, so, you know, the Vilna Gaon, I'm sure he had tremendous derech eretz for him, but you know, he was one achrayin. He said so. The Chassam Sefer didn't change, you know, from what they did in Presburg before him, because the Vilna Gaon said so. So there's a tshuva in the Chassam Sefer about a moel was asking him about a baby that was born on Shabbos, or we'll call it on Saturday evening, right? Well, that's what we're judging, is it Shabbos on Saturday evening. It was from the details in the tshuva. I don't remember how long after sunset, but there's nobody that nowadays would. The shaila was, should I do the bris on Shabbos? And nowadays, there's nobody in the world that would do the Shabbos on Shabbos. It was, let's say, an hour after Shkia. It was born on what we would call Matzah Shabbos, and when we were all davening Maariv. Maybe it was a little bit, what?
Probably prior to 58 minutes.
Okay, maybe. Let's say, for argument's sake, it was around 45 minutes before after Shkia. I don't remember exactly. And the Chassam Sofer said, of course you do the Bris on Shabbos. And he said, after all, we do. Why are you asking me a shayla about Mila? If you're really mesupik about that time, then you shouldn't be doing Malacha then on Erev Shabbos. And we're all doing Malacha then on Erev Shabbos. Chassam Sofer says that. He writes, we all do. So besides how he's paskening, just the window that he's giving us into life at that time, they all did Malacha. They didn't have cars, right? But if they did, they'd be driving them 45 minutes after Shkia on Erev Shabbos. Some say we said, since we do malach at that time on Erev Shabbos, so you have to consider it a Shabbos baby if he's born at that time 24 hours later. So you do the bris next Shabbos. But as time went on, again, maybe the Mishnah Berurah was a big influence, maybe, you know, even later influences. Nowadays, nobody does that. Nowadays, it's universally accepted that you can't do malach at Erev Shabbos after Shkia. But for the guy with some other things, certainly the guy with mincha is not universally accepted. The guy with mincha, the chassidim are mekel. You know, sometimes people say, "Oh, the chassidim are not makban on zmanim." You know, but when it comes to davening mincha after shkia, that's really very legitimate. It means that they're following the shita of Rabbeinu Tam, which is what they always followed in Europe. Right? Their zaydas all davened mincha after shkia, and they did it with justification because it was before the shkia of Rabbeinu Tam. It's, you know, the discrepancy is so great that when you're already past Benesh Moshes and Vade Laila, according to the first man, you're still before Benesh Moshes and Vade Yoim, according to the second man. So that's what Chassidim Davin Mincha after, you know, after sunset. They don't call it after Shkia, but after sunset. But when it comes to Shabbos, doing Malacha on Erev Shabbos, so then I don't think anybody does that anymore. It's become, you know, it was a gradual process over the course of 200 years or so, but by now it's become universally accepted that we don't do malach anymore after sunset, to be chayshesh for the gura who said that you have to be chayshesh for that sheet of the ga'inim. Now, just one other point, which is really could be a long discussion in its own right, but just very bekitzer, that when the gura talks about this, the gura adds that, you know, we've been talking about these two possibilities and we're using numbers for each one, right? There's one side that it's 13 and a half minutes, one side that it's 72 minutes. He says you have to understand that all of these numbers are really variables because, first of all, obviously they fluctuate over the course of the year, right. But even more importantly, they fluctuate based on where you are on the globe. Right. Mm-hmm. And if the numbers are based on the Gemara, right? They're based on this conversion that we saw in the Gemara. I'm talking about Sadi Dalid. So you have to consider the numbers to be relevant to Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. And if you live further from the equator than that, so then it gets darker more slowly. And all of these numbers are meant to be measuring degrees of darkness, right? They're all about Tzitzik Chavim. When is it Tzitzik Chavim? When is the suffix Tzitzik Chavim? What about the Tzitzik Chavim? So, and Tzitzik Chavim, like we said at the beginning of this year, what does it mean the stars come out? The stars don't come out. It gets dark, and then you see the stars. So what all these numbers really mean to be measures of darkness. So the Gra says that you can't just take the number and follow it. You have to understand that the idea behind the number is that it's describing a certain degree of darkness, and then wherever you are on the globe, when it reaches that degree of darkness, that would be equivalent to that number in Bavel, that's when you'd consider it Laila. Again, when it's equivalent to 13 and a half minutes, that's when you'd consider it Laila according to the first Zman, and when it's the equivalent of 72 minutes, that's when you'd consider it Laila according to the second Zman. And that contributes to why in practice, in real life, there's so many different opinions and so many different zmanim. Mm-hmm. Different people start doing malach and Shabbos at different times. It's a combination of these two things. This last akuta that we made about we're trying to convert the numbers from the Gemara to other parts of the globe, as well as the first akuta that we said that in the Gemara itself there's a stira and we're really being cheshish for the two shitas. So those factors go into the multiplicity of zmanim that you have for just about everything, but most especially for doing Malacha Matzah Shabbos. Okay.
Thursday, that's not right. Okay.